Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
It's my check. It's my check. The podcast by Mike Myers.
Welcome back to Mike Check, the only podcast in known existence that dares to go through the entire filmography of funny man Mike Myers just to check if it's still shagadelic. Baby!
And baby, we are here today for one of the most shagadelic occasions in the history of Mike Myers. Shagadelic occasion number one, it is the 69th freaking episode of Mike Check.
Whoa, hang on a second. You're telling us this is number 69?
69. We knew that this was the number that was coming up next. We held off. We edged ourselves into the last second until we had to absolutely release an emergency episode, and it is for a worthy shagadelic occasion.
Before we get into the what the emergency broadcast is all about, let's talk a little bit about this 69 number. Now, it's funny because it's actually it's a number chronologically that we have reached, but also there is a sexual position that shares a name.
Yes, that's why it's so funny.
Yeah.
That's what makes it funny and notable. Is that it resembles the idea that it evokes this feeling, this idea of two, you know, sperms interlinked around each other.
Oh, no, 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 that's not what...
Isn't that what it is?
No. It's
two fellas shoot two sperms out onto a table and they watch
and
them...
And they fight it out.
Yeah.
Mandingo style. Yeah. No, it's not like that. 69 is so named because when you see those two numbers side by side, it almost looks as if two human beings, naked as the day as they were born,
okay,
are laying side by side, tipped to head to toe, you know,
yin and yang, Ouroborosing,
and one is sexually pleasuring the other with their mouth, and vice versa.
Yes,
and they call it a 69 sex. So it's very cool. That we've reached that number because it sounds similar to 69 sex.
Now, it's perfect for this occasion as well, because right now we're two fellas that pray at the Church of Mike.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've been to church.
It's been a while, been a few minutes between drinks, and today we're sharing the drink together. Mm. And what a perfect occasion, because news has come out that would mutually please us. And 69 is known as a mutual pleasing sexual encounter.
Yep.
And so right now we're two fellas, I guess, engaged in a metaphorical 69.
We're both mutually pleased, and we're pleasing each other by both being pleased.
And who are each other? People might not even remember us anymore.
Well, I'll introduce you. How about that? You are a wonderful comedian.
Yep.
But more than that, a hell of a guy.
Really?
Yeah. I'd put you in the top five guys.
Okay.
That I've met.
So if Maren were to ask you, who are your five guys?
Yeah. If Maren were to sit me down and go, who are your five guys? I'd go, well, obviously, I'm going to say my dad.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Funny fucker. Absolutely. He's a stitch up. The guy's absolutely piss funny.
Yeah, he piss funny.
He pisses funny.
He pisses funny. He shits drama.
Shit.
And then I'd say three other guys, and I'd say you.
Wow, so I'd be the top five.
Yeah,
you make the top five, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
doesn't
it's matter still top
it's
five.
It's still an honor.
And your name is Alexi Toliopoulos.
And I am proud to bear that name, especially as someone who is fortunate enough to have one of the greatest friends in the world.
Who's that?
This is a guy that I would describe as a genuine person and a genuinely funny individual. A man who is skyrocketing his way through the Australian comedy scene with hopes of building up into the world comedy scene as well and breaking through, not unlike a young Michael Myers, famous serial killer from the Halloween movie franchise. I'm, of course, talking to my dear friend that I'm facing right now, Mr. Cameron James.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for having me. And it's exciting to be mutually pleasuring each other today.
Honestly, we haven't done this in so long. We've talked about when are we going to do another mic check, but today is the day.
Today's the day. It's very spur of the moment. Obviously, we received some good news. And look, we've had some reason to stay away from these waters.
Yeah.
This mic territory. It's been a while. The Mic Check Republic has fallen into disarray.
Yes, we've had great hopes. We've had lots of catastrophes as well in the Mic Check Republic.
Because let's look back really on our main goals when we started Mic Check. Mm-hmm. We wanted to find out, is Mike Myers horny?
Yes.
We concluded probably he is.
Most likely the guy is horny and he would be delighting in the moment that the podcast dedicating him has reached its 69th episode.
Yeah. We also wanted to figure out why he had been so absent from our screens and could we entice him back? Mm-hmm. We also wanted to interview him.
Yes, that one has not happened
yet. They were the four things that we needed to accomplish, and once we accomplished all of them, we could finally put Mike Check to bed.
There was one other thing. I just remembered in our first episode that I wanted Bill Shorten to become the Prime Minister of Australia.
Well,
and it's more than likely than ever. All of these years later, it's closer.
We're very close to that now.
Also, the current Prime Minister of Australia, Scott Morrison, did a Borat impression in Parliament.
Yeah.
So Scotty, fuck you, brother. And Bill Shorten, if you are listening, you are welcome to come on to Mic Check.
If you can do a Dr. Evil impression, that would be fantastic.
And rebut it.
Yeah, that would be a great rebuttal. So we did get Mike back to our screens. Mm-hmm. We got him back in a big way, but, you know, it was like a monkey paw situation.
Yes.
It was cursed.
It was a cursed wish that we put out there. We did get him back. In many ways, they were exciting moments, but it was that monkey paw, its fingers closing back up.
We did have to watch two full seasons of The Gong Show.
We did have to do it, but we didn't. We only watched one.
We only watched one.
we had to have watched two, but we only watched one. And that, you know, that was something that was exciting because it was Mike debuting a new character, which is something that we absolutely, it brings a tear to my eye to have that idea that Mike was bringing a new character into the world. He birthed a new character.
Mm.
And
we were there on the operating table.
Yeah.
We were cutting the umbilical cord.
Yeah, exactly. I was giving him a freaking cesarean.
Yeah.
Mike is just a guy who sheds his skin. If you cut the C-section and pull the whole skin off, new character underneath.
New character underneath. So that was exciting. But then it wasn't exactly what we wanted to see from Mike Myers.
It wasn't the right format for Mike.
It wasn't the right format. Then he got a couple of big film roles.
Yes.
And guess what? We've seen neither of them.
Neither of us has seen neither of them. He did Terminal, which stars Margot Robbie and looks like a weird hitman movie. I bought it on Blu-ray, but I have not watched it.
Yeah.
I've been saving it to watch with you. The moment has not arisen.
And then he appeared in Oscar-winning film, Bo Rap.
Yeah, Bo Rap.
The Misadventures of Freddie Mercury.
Yes.
In cultural learning of Make Great Queen music.
Yes. The reviews came in and a lot of people said not very nice for the movie Bo Rap. People do not like it. But some people love it. But a lot of people asked us to review it.
Well, we got a lot of hate. How come we hadn't done a Terminal app?
Yep.
How come we hadn't done a Bo Rap app? And neither of us really ever discussed it, not publicly at least. The Mic Check Republic, we had a few meetings here and there.
Yes, in our personal circles, we had talked about it. It was an open secret for us that the reason we hadn't reviewed Bo Rap is directed by Bryan Singer, famously infamous.
Yeah.
He's famously infamous, and you look him up, it's not for us to dwell on, but he's a guy that we don't like his films, and we can't stand the fella as a man.
Not a good fella.
He's not a good egg, I would say.
He's a bad apple.
Bad apple, bad egg. He's a bad little piglet.
It's just fucked that they even gave him.
It is insane. And then
anything.
And that then I was appalled that the movie got nominated for so many Oscars. Yep. Even though I have not seen it, I don't dare see it. I don't want to put myself through it.
No, I won't even watch it on a plane.
Exactly.
The only way I'll watch it on a plane is if the captain comes on over the speaker and he says, "Ladies and gentlemen, unfortunately, birds have flown into both the engines, yep, and we are plummeting to our death right now." I'd go, "Well, I better put on bow wrap."
Yeah, put on the 5 minutes that Mike's probably.
If I'm already going to hell, I may as well go there in a blaze of glory.
Exactly.
Yeah. So
the last Mike minute that I can afford.
We avoided it. And I don't know if we have any plans to do either of those really soon. I guess think we will. We should do Terminal.
We should do Terminal at least, and maybe we'll find the 5 minutes that Mike's in for Bow Rap.
That's pretty good if we just do the 5 minutes of Bow Rap that Mike is in. Yep. We don't know any context. We don't watch the rest of the movie.
We see the story from his eyes.
Yeah.
And that's our experiment, just to see it through his eyes.
But we're not there yet, ladies and gentlemen. We are here for another reason entirely, a reason that spontaneously led us to record an episode today.
Yep.
We woke up this morning.
Well, we didn't wake up this morning.
We woke up this afternoon.
Yes. Both of us were out partying last night at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. Woke up to an unbelievable amount of messages, unbelievable amount of tags.
My phone was blowing up, as to use the parlance, and notifications, messages, DMs.
I was worried that a relative had passed away.
I thought
was my first
I thought,
response.
Has Princess Diana come back to life?
And people know your relationship to Princess Di?
Yeah, Lady Di? England's Rose?
Lady Di, Lady Di.
I love that chick.
Yeah, she is a firecracker and
a live wire.
Well, perhaps not that is the correct way to call it, but it was not that.
No.
Which brings us to a segment that we like to call Breaking Myers News!
Okay. I must have misread that in your message.
Yep.
Shit.
What are you talking about?
I didn't prepare for Breaking Myers News. I got your message. I must have misread it. I can see what I've done.
What do you mean? I sent you a three-word message, Breaking Myers News.
Yes, and I've prepared for something that you're going to laugh, honestly. You're going to laugh.
Test me on that, my dear. I may have praised your comedy skills earlier, but you are testing my wit's end right now.
I prepared for Brecken Meyer News.
Brecken Meyer, the star of Clueless and Rat Race and creator of Robot's Chicken, I think he's involved with.
And also, he's in 54.
Of course, he stars with Mike Myers in 54.
So I did Google. I have a Google alert for Brecken Meyer, so I've prepared for that. I can give you that if you like.
I don't like, but I will accept.
Okay. Clueless stars Alicia Silverstone, Paul Rudd, Donald Faison, and Brecken Meyer.
He got the end credit.
Yep.
That is huge for a guy like Brecken to finally get the end credit in a press release.
Send fans wild as they reunite at Comic-Con in Chicago 24 years after smash hit movie was released. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is from March. We are in the 24th anniversary of Clueless.
Wow.
That's
and
so exciting.
What a celebration.
Yeah.
24 beautiful years since Clueless reared its head.
And there's some great photos here.
Any
from
quotes from Brecken? They focus on him at
absolutely.
All?
Absolutely. You better believe it's mainly about Paul Rudd.
Yeah, of course.
Most of this article is Paul Rudd looks fantastic. Paul Rudd is ageless.
He just 50 or whatever.
MMS photos of Alicia Silverstone, who also looks fantastic.
Yes.
She's wearing a double denim number with the sleeves rolled up.
What number?
69.
Okay.
But then there's a little bit at the end here. I had a little scroll. There's a photo of all of those five famous people that I just mentioned earlier, talking about Clueless, and Brecken Meyer's on there. He looks great. He's wearing a chino. He's wearing
a
cream chino.
Okay.
And a black long sleeve, shirt with the sleeves rolled up in a look that I could only describe as Cameron James-esque.
Okay, let me have a pop. Yeah, that's very Cammy James. Yep. Very Cammy. You're wearing that outfit.
I'm wearing that as exact we speak, outfit basically. Right now. And anyway, so here's a little quote from
Brett
Meyer.
He's even got a close-up, yeah?
They've said, you know, the moderator asked them what they were like when they were 16 years old and what they're like today.
Okay.
So they've all given some nice, fun answers there.
So Breckenmeyer, this is actually breaking Breckenmeyer news.
This is breaking Breckenmeyer news. Breckenmeyer joked that he, at the age of 16, was a stupid, greasy jackalope. And that not much has changed.
Oh, that is rich.
That is rich stuff.
That would have got a few chuckles from the audience. Of like, God, this guy is still the guy that we loved
this
growing
up.
This
is still the funniest guy in the room.
Has to be. He must have been cutting it up. And he's a cutter. Paul Rudd's probably jealous, but also excited to see a friend do well.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to have a comedy hero, make it Breckenmeyer.
Yeah, chuck Brecken on there. He is one for the ages.
He's one of my guys.
Oh, really? So he's in that little patch of three.
Breckenmeyer's one of the three guys. My dad at one end, you at the other end. Yep. Breckenmeyer somewhere in the middle.
Okay, and we've got two spaces in there that I'm not sure what they could be.
Yeah.
Well, I got a feeling you could relate to. One of them could be a guy we're about to fucking discuss.
I think you might be right.
Let's get straight into the segment that I like to call Breaking Meyer's Frickin' News. Yeah. And this is a press release that was sent out from Netflix letterhead on top of it. Official Netflix.
It was probably set out, I'm imagining, folded up piece of paper, wax seal with the Netflix N pressed into it.
Into a little wax.
And you crack it open and the wax seal cracks and you go, this is exciting news from Netflix.
I'm unraveling something extremely interesting, and I'm barring up. It's probably horny.
Okay.
It's probably horny news for immediate release. I'm going to read you this press release verbatim.
Yeah.
So far, not that interesting. Next word is going to delight you. Mike. And it doesn't end there. Myers. Wow. To executive produce. Okay. Not interesting. And star.
Oh my God.
In new comedy series for Netflix.
Wow.
Mike is back. Mike is back. This is our work. I reckon we are at least a tad responsible for this.
Yeah.
We have to be.
We have to be a tad responsible.
A tad. Just a tad. Sure, Mike's probably done most of the work to
definitely
get here.
Definitely. It's a 40-year career. You know, he's earned it. He's one of the biggest superstars in the world. He stepped away from the limelight. He's earned his way back through small roles.
Yeah.
Sure, he's done a lot of the work, but we've done 69 freaking episodes about
and
this
we've created murmur around. You can't get there without murmurs.
It's mainly murmur.
It's mainly a murmur-based industry, the film industry.
Yep.
And TV industry, they're linked. A lot of people put them together. I certainly do.
I do not.
That's where we get difference, the two of us.
Yeah, I think TV is base and juvenile.
Yeah, well, this is a base and juvenile world is perfect for our hero Mike to be playing in.
Yeah.
Point number one, there are five bullet points in this message.
Shit.
Point number one, Netflix has ordered a half-hour limited comedy series produced by and starring Mike Myers in which he plays multiple characters.
Yes!
That is what we have been wanting.
That's the dream.
We from the start of this, we said that we wanted Mike to come back, perhaps to the small screen where he started out.
Yeah.
Back on those glory
days. I wanted him to rejoin SNL cast.
You wanted him to be back on the cast.
Imagine Kate McKinnon, Bobby Moynihan, Mike Myers.
That would be
cutting it up together, making fucking viral videos.
Imagine, if you will, a wonderful episode of SNL. You've got someone interesting hosting the show, like, I don't know, Mark Zuckerberg or someone who's in the zeitgeist right now. You know, someone like Ellen Barkin, perhaps.
Yeah.
Hosting SNL, and she is not a comedy person per se. Mm. So they've got her just doing a monologue. And what they do on SNL when they have someone who's not the most funniest cunny in the world to host the show, they do a Q&A.
They'll usually get cast members to pose as audience plants
and
get up and ask a question.
It can confuse you from time to time. Like, is this a real person?
Is this happening for real? But then you go, no, they wouldn't have set up cameras in those shows.
Yeah, they wouldn't have put a camera on this person. And this person, it has like an electric quality about them. There's no way that they're just an audience member.
Yeah.
But you can get confused. But can you imagine that? You got Ellen Barkin up on the screen. Mm. She's promoting Animal Kingdom, the TV series that I think she stars in. And she says, yep, I'm going to take questions, from you. Yes, pudgy, pudding-faced guy with tremendously long sleeves covering up most of their hand. Yes, you. And they're like, ooh, I'm horny. And like, hang on a second. I know that guy.
I know that guy. That guy's a horny Mike.
That was the dream that we wanted. We wanted Mike to come back and he's playing new characters. Across this journey, we've found Mike Myers doing characters that we didn't even know about before. I'm talking about the MTV 2007 video TV awards or whatever he was on. 2008, sorry, that he hosted. And he played a wonderful array of characters we'd never seen before that we'd hoped we could see again or see him play with those things. I think Tommy Maitland, that was exciting for us because we saw Mike playing a new character.
Yeah, and we loved Tommy.
We loved Tommy.
He's a cheeky monkey.
He absolutely is a cheeky monkey. And I'm going to keep reading for this because there's nothing else where it specifically says what characters they're going to be. It does say, all it says is, in which he plays multiple characters.
Uh-huh.
Point number two, this is a quote from Mike Myers. I love creating characters. So he is creating characters. One would assume that means new. And Netflix has given me a fantastic playground to play in.
Hmm.
So that's what he's been paid for. He got paid by giving him a playground that he's playing in. Usually actors work for money and creators. Mm. I'm, of course, being silly right now.
He's chosen a playground.
Yes. And that makes me think that what of my characters plays in playgrounds?
There's that boy from the SNL.
Yes. Alongside Nicole Kidman.
Yeah.
Nicole.
What's that
Philip
character
the hyper,
Philip
hyper
the
kid.
Hyper Hyper.
Philip the Hyper Hyper Kid. Perhaps Philip is going to return.
Oh,
as now
my
a hyper,
God.
Hyper
Maybe this
teenager.
Is the first clue, is that Philip the Hyper Hypo is getting his own show.
Exactly. There has been countless articles written about this today. Perhaps one by every major publication in the world has released a Mike update article. But this is the real one where you've got two. And by now, we genuinely are globally acclaimed investigative journalists.
Yeah.
We actually are. Like, this is not a false premise right now. We are.
We used to joke that we were way smarter than we are, but we've been proven. It's been proven that we are globally successful and admired investigative journalists.
We are that now.
We're officially nominated for an award.
We are officially nominated for our investigative documentary work.
Yeah.
So we are looking into this much deeper than anyone else has.
Yep.
So that's already I'm seeing clue. Phil the Hyper Hyper Kid, the Ernie Mike character that has appeared in a playground.
It's got to be that.
That's what I'm leaning towards right now. And then the next bullet point, episodes:6.
Six episodes.
Six.
That's great. That's like British style.
Exactly.
And he's always had a thing for the Brits.
He loves the Brits. He's got British dad.
Yeah, he's got British dad.
They're Liverpudlian.
He's Liverpudlian. He's liver pudding faced. and
pudding liver faced.
And he loves... He spent his teenage years summering in London. Yep. He got into the punk scene. This guy loves the way the Brits do business.
He's obsessed with British shit.
He's an Anglophile.
Yes, he
registered.
Thinks they're funny. He's a registered Anglophile. And he would just be chomping at the bit.
Yeah, and champing at it as well while he's at it. Trying to make something that is cool, that is British, that is edgy.
And dare I say, horny and sexy.
I mean, obviously, there's going to be one horny character at least in this show. Now, is there any more dot points there?
Yes. The next one is... The next two are just producers.
Yeah, that's
okay. So, executive producers Mike Myers.
Yep, we know that guy.
John Lyons. Also...
Who's this John
Jason
Lyons?
Jason Weinberg. And then followed by the next bullet point, associate producers Mackenzie Sir and Justin Capraro-Gentuso.
Hmm. I know none of these names.
I don't know any of these names. Oh, my God, Cameron. Cameron, this is... Okay, I've looked up John Lyons. This is actually breaking breaking fucking Myers news right now, because we may have unlocked something right now.
Okay.
Honest to gosh, right now. Oh, I'm actually freaking out. So John Lyons has been, because this was another little theory that I had popping up.
Okay. All right. Calm down.
Okay.
Take a chill pill.
Sorry. I will need to definitely take a chill pill tonight. Because
I think let's take an unchill pill.
Gosh, I'm copping the side effects of being heavily unchill right now. So I looked up John Lyons, John S. Lyons with a Y for Lyons. I'm sorry, I'm freaking out.
You are freaking out. You're babbling. So you're sweaty.
He got his start mainly as a casting director.
Okay.
Notable films that he was a casting director for: The Big Lebowski was one of his last credits. Hudsucker Proxy.
Mm-hmm.
Boogie Nights and stuff like that. But he became a producer with the films of.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Paul Thomas Anderson. Mm. He produced Hard Eight, Boogie Nights. Those are his first two credits as a producer. Then in 1998, he produces a movie that has lived in infamy. The movie Pete's Meteor.
Oh, my God.
He then
really?
Went on to produce Austin Powers, A Spy Who Shagged Me. Austin Powers in Goldmember. Sisters is his last credit.
Okay.
And The Young Pope on HBO.
Oh, wow. Nice.
So he's a Young Pope producer. But he has a history of working with Mike Myers.
Yeah.
A history of working with the great man in his great role as Austin Powers. And that has been one of my little theories waking up this morning thinking this could be something that could involve some of Mike's past characters.
Oh, that's my dream. That's what I've been thinking about all morning too.
And Mike has been very passionately talking about over the last couple of years, hinting at there being a Dr. Evil movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I found a quote for Mike Myers when he, I think probably the best quote about him talking about the possibility of getting to an Austin 4 Dr. Evil 1, as he was calling it. Well, you're going to see Dr. Evil soon somewhere in the culture. That might have been referring to him popping up on like Tonight Show and stuff like that as Dr. Evil.
Mm-hmm.
The movie, they take a long time to write. They always have.
Yeah.
Nothing's changed.
Yeah.
Jay, as in Jay Roach, Austin Powers director, has been super crazy. He's doing a fantastic movie right now and he's working on, but it's looking good. Yeah, baby.
Yeah, baby. Yeah, baby.
So I've had this thought that perhaps this is it. This might, because I don't believe there's going to be an Austin Powers 4.
No.
I honestly don't believe that.
I can't see that happening. I can't see. Well, it just doesn't happen anymore. Studios don't make those comedies anymore.
They don't.
They don't make enough money. You know?
Anchorman happened. Anchorman 2 happened.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Zoolander 2, Zoolander.
Yeah. And these are both, like, I guess, considered failures. Even
you
though
could have may as well called it No-lander. It didn't lander.
It didn't do any business.
It didn't make it in the industry.
No, although I quite liked it.
I thought it was funny.
Yeah, I liked
it
a lot.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I laughed.
But maybe we're the demographic.
Yeah.
And we're a watch at home.
Exactly.
Demographic for these big ass movies.
And I think that Austin, it doesn't have the reputation that people like you and I attribute to it.
Yep.
In the major popular culture. And yes, we've made efforts to change that to bring people onto the right side of history.
Big time.
We have been advocates for Mike as his star is back on the rise.
Mm.
We have helped usher that in.
Yeah.
Usher sung, yeah.
So, wow, you're an idiot. Do you think that this 6-part series is going to be a Dr. Evil show?
I'm trying to think what it could possibly be. I think you and I, for us, we've been talking about it on the way here.
And like,
I get an idea of what
I
it could
think
be.
Like when you hear 6-part limited series, multiple characters, you think along the lines of like Chris Lilly's show,
yeah.
Or like a Little Britain or something, right? Like it's a format we've seen done before, but...
And I think it just coming in with that Netflix logo on top through that press release, because there's so much press about Chris Lilly's new series that also would be described as a 6-part multiple character series.
So that's what I'm thinking about.
But it can't be that.
But if it was something else, if it was mainly focused on a character like Dr. Evil and he played some other characters in there, for example, Fat Bastard.
Yes.
Or, Tommy Maitland.
Yeah.
Or any of this kind of shit, that would make you very happy?
I don't know, because for me, it's hard to imagine Dr. Evil changing it up.
Mm.
Those other characters I'm not interested too much in seeing. I'd be more interested in bringing back characters that we haven't caught up with in an even longer time.
Okay.
Remember the long gestating, non-existing Sprockets movie project? I would love Dita to come back.
I wonder what that would even be. Because remember that Sprockets never came about because he wasn't happy with the script.
Yeah.
And, you know, as a result, as we all know, tragically, unfortunately, he did legally have to do Cat in the Hat.
Because he turned it down because the script to Sprockets was not up to snuff. Not up to his high standard.
And I think
and
maybe...
Let the record show Mike did write the script as well.
Yeah, he wrote the script. Yeah. But I do think maybe that has something to do with the fact that it's a 5-minute sketch and how do you drag that out? I mean, I know he'd done it before with Wayne's World, but that's based in reality sort of.
Yeah.
Dita, I mean, would you want to watch 6 episodes of Dita from Sprockets?
If it was a show.
If it's a fake show, if it's a fake half-hour Sprockets show.
Fake half-hour Sprockets show, that would be so exciting and weird and interesting.
Yeah.
And because it's like that is such an wild and out there avant-garde character. Like it literally lives in art, like German art house and German, like weird fake German culture
horror,
and expressionist horror and like, you know, silent film techniques and stuff and lives in this past. I think that could be wild to see something like that.
Mm.
Or it's an idea that I've wanted to see as a TV show for a while is the idea of like you're watching... The show itself is like a TV and it's you flipping through the channels or whatever.
Mm.
And it's just seeing that. And I think Mike Myers playing multiple characters, because so many of his characters are like talk show hosts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
If we're watching a show, we're flipping through.
Like Kroll Show.
Yeah, like a Kroll Show type thing. Mm. We're flipping through and we're seeing a bit of Sprockets with Dita talking to like Kyle MacLachlan or whatever.
And maybe a little bit of Coffee Talk with Linda Richman.
You got a bit of Linda Richman coming back, who is one of Mike's most beloved characters.
I would love to see that character come back.
Linda Richman, I think, is the character that doesn't get talked about enough, because I think it's one of Mike's funniest characters.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's based on like butter. It is like butter. And I would love to see her, you know, really bring Barbara Streisand in and ask her the tough questions about what she talked about Michael
Jackson.
And maybe
collab with...
I would love to see Linda Richman grill Barbara.
Yes, please. I would love that. And Madonna can be there too.
Yeah, Madonna. And Roseanne Barr coming back as Madonna's mom.
Yeah, I love that.
I'd love that iconic... force him to return to that TV of Mike. Myers, Madonna, Roseanne Barr, and Barbara Streisand.
That's the there's never been a more iconic foursome.
Yes. Nick hasn't.
Since the awesome foursome, the famous rowers.
I had no idea who they were.
They're Australian Olympians.
Oh, yeah, the Sultana guys, right?
Yeah, you know those guys. So...
What other characters would you love to see come back, or what do you hope from this show?
I'd like to see pretty much all his SNL characters come back. I want to see...
Simon?
Simon, the bath kid with Danny DeVito.
Yeah.
The man who famously made you horny.
Yeah, that was the first time I got horny, was young Danny DeVito.
Yeah.
Naked in a bath with Mike Myers.
Yeah.
And that, if that came up, it would conclusively answer, is Simon, the bath boy,
Tommy Maitland's son? Yeah, I'd like to get an answer to that. I'd like that Theatre Stories character guy.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
With Dana Carvey in there as Mickey Rooney.
As Mickey Rooney.
I would love that.
Steve Martin popping back up.
Oh.
I would love this to be...
Basically, I want it to be that SNL best of Mike Myers DVD, but over six episodes.
But I would love this to be perhaps a project that could be something like Kroll Show, but for the lost generation of these actors like Mike Myers, comedic heroes that all have taken a step away from the limelight, often most of them to raise their families and stuff.
Mm.
But, you know, bring like fucking Dana Carvey.
Get Dana in there.
Get Dana
get
in
Kevin
there.
Get Kevin Nealon in there.
Kevin Nealon. You know, people like Jane Curtin.
Oh, Janine Garofalo.
Janine Garofalo.
Laura Keitlinger, get her up there. She's hilarious.
Sherry O'Terry.
Oh, I'd love to see Sherry O'Terry in
it. I would love to see Sherry O'Terry on with Mike. Kristen Johnston would be fucking amazing on there.
She's amazing.
Ivana Hump a lot. Ivana on my TV a lot.
Yes, please. Thank you very much. I want to see some other stars. I want to see Adam Sandler collaborating with Mike Myers.
We've never seen them together. I'd love to see Jim Carrey.
Michael McKean. I want to see Chris Farley back from the dead.
I would love to see David Spade on
Marone.
I'd love to see Will Ferrell.
I'd like to see Mark Marone.
I would love to see Mark up on there interviewing Linda Richman.
Yeah.
Flipping it on her and asking her the tough questions.
Finally. I'd love it to be a show that is populated by all these fabulous comedy stars of the 90s that you don't see enough of anymore. Yeah. That would be exciting for me. That would make me feel good.
Yeah.
I would like that a lot.
It would be a return to form. It would be everything for me.
So do we want this to be, and this is I guess we're getting to a deeper philosophical question here. Do we want this to be something nostalgic, or do we want this to be something that's new and edgy and groundbreaking?
That's such a tough question.
Because it feels like we're really talking about old SNL here. Yeah. Like we want it to be...
Which
cool
at the time
old
was
sketches.
Cool and cutting edge.
But
you know?
Now that's a nostalgia trip. Mm. So do we want that? Or do we want to see Mike doing some new shit?
Well, that's a tough thing because with these guys from the past, you want to see them do the hits a lot of the time.
Mm.
Like I think back on the Martin Short and Steve
Martin.
I got confused because they have the same name.
Yeah.
Their double act show that was released on Netflix, where it was just them doing what felt like very classic jokes between them and classic like stage patter between
these
like two.
It was like, oh, hello, but for real.
Exactly. It really was. And that was an absolute delight.
Yeah, I prefer it.
Like, and if you compare them, that's a great comparison, oh, hello, and that.
Yeah.
Oh, hello is very much cutting edge, performed by new people that are on the absolute forefront of what comedy is in the world now. And then you watch the Steve Martin and Martin Short one, and it's people that were there, you know, 40 years ago, 30 years ago doing that. And I like both just as much.
Yeah.
But it's, do you want to see someone like Mike working with hot, hot new talent, creative talent, like someone like Mike O'Brien from SNL who makes really weird SNL sketches or The Lonely Island? Do you want him in that mode?
Or like
do you
Kate McKinnon or something.
Yeah. Or do you want him more with Jay Roach, like doing what they've always done?
I guess I want him doing what he's always done, really. I don't know if I want to see him partnered up with younger talent. I want to see him pulling out like freaking Rob Lowe to be in something. And just weird character shit that, and maybe some characters we've seen before, maybe some characters that are new but feel familiar.
Yeah.
I think that's what I want. I kind of want it to be comfort food.
Yeah.
I don't want it to be like Who Is America, where I was genuinely uncomfortable and scared about what was going to happen every time Sasha was on screen.
But that's a good thing as well, that like I loved Who Is America. Mm. I would like that was something when I saw that, I felt very similarly to this when the news broke of what that project was. To find out that I got to see something that I never thought I would see again.
Mm.
Ali G's show for me was like one of the most formative texts of my life. And I never thought I would ever see Sacha Baron Cohen get the chance to do that again. And to see him like actually do it was like, you know, it felt like one of the rare occurrences of life to ever happen again.
Yeah.
And I think what I would love is for, this is something that we haven't seen for a while where Mike holds all the cards.
Yeah.
So this is a Mike instigated project. It stars Mike Myers. He is, it would sound like, the auteur of this project.
Yes.
As he is the producer. Mm. That's what it's saying. It's produced by Mike Myers and stars him. It starts out by saying that to show that this is a Mike instigated project.
It's a
Mike project. And I think that is what excites me the most.
Mm.
Is that this has been perhaps an idea that's been long gestating.
Because
we've been theorizing what it could be. It really could be anything. There's nothing here. If we look at other long gestating Mike projects that just never came to be, there's the Sprocket ones that we talked about. There was also the Guru, which not the Love Guru.
Mm.
I pray this isn't like a extended Guruniverse or anything like that. But if this was, the Del Close biopic that he was working on, that's something that didn't happen. I don't think it's going to be something like that. But it kind of shows that Mike has been kind of, he's been looking more inward. I think because all his projects that like broke out were like inward reflections. Like Wayne's World was very much what his 20s were.
Mm-hmm.
And then Austin Powers was a reflection on what his dad's taste was.
Yep.
And then Shrek was not an auteur project for Mike, but it was for children.
Mm-hmm.
It was for the children that he would have. Mm-hmm. And he found the way that he connected through with that movie and that text was interpreting his mother's bedtime stories and the voices that she would do for them and stuff. And so he's someone that reflects inward for his work. And I think the Love Guru and then the documentary Supermensch, The Legend of Shep Gordon, and the Love Guru, his last big project. Because you can't say the Gong Show is a Mike Orturd project.
No.
He made with it what he wanted. He wanted this kind of pranky element that would harken back to the original Gong Show and stuff like that by having like a prank it kind of aspect involved in it. But Supermensch and the Love Guru as his last projects that were on this big scale at all or personal scale for him, they're both, I think, about an inner spirituality. And I feel like, do you think Mike has moved past that phase of his career where he's moved from memory to spiritual in the works that we've analyzed? Do you think he's still in that mode where he's seeking something like that, like seeking the solace?
I feel like he may have found it. I feel like he's gotten there. He had the child after Supermensch, I think, as well.
Yeah.
So I think maybe he's moved beyond looking for a reason to be alive or a purpose.
Yeah.
He's got it. So now I think maybe he's moved into fun territory.
Yeah.
Gong Show, for all its faults, was clearly a bit of fun.
Yes, of course.
Bit of silliness. Then in these two movies that we haven't seen, he's playing heavily made up characters.
Yeah.
Clearly just something he enjoys. And this is a chance for him to make six more characters potentially, maybe even more. So I think maybe he's just moved into, I've found my piece and now I'm going to share my gift again with everyone.
That's what I really hope it is. I hope you're right. And I think you're onto something saying it's about him wanting fun again and him to bring the control back to himself and have that fun under his guise, under his creative decisions. And I'm thinking that one project that we haven't talked about is, do you remember that Fred Armisen
Oh, yeah.
It was like the New Romantics.
I loved the sound of that. That was cool. It was him and Fred as a band, a sort of like 80s-inspired New Romantic band, New Wave.
Yeah.
And they played some live shows.
And there's a little bit of footage online.
A little bit of footage
about
of
like
it.
6 minutes in total.
Yeah, yeah, of them kind of playing some songs together. I loved the idea of that. And nothing ever really came of that.
I always thought that it was going to be something like for Documentary Now. Mm. I always thought that's what it was going to be, that they were going to do like a documentary, a fake, you know, Spinal Tap style documentary about something like that.
Wouldn't it be cool if that was part of this?
That's what I'm really hoping, because I feel like that was like a big thing for, you know, us to read about, that these two bizarre introverted, you know, comedy creators with ego were doing something so small scale where they were just doing these local gigs where they created this fake band that was just the two of them and playing around and doing stuff like that. I feel like that could be something. I feel like music would have to be involved.
I would
like,
love
all of
to
this
see
stuff.
That.
Music is so involved. Ming T,
yeah.
The guy last year, he played with fucking Neil Finn.
Yeah.
They played BBC.
Yeah. That was crazy.
Like, I feel like music would have to be involved in some way.
I got to say, I really hope the Fred Armisen thing is a part of this. Yeah. I loved that little idea.
Yeah. If it was something like that, and I don't know. It at the moment, it's this weird, in this weird space of speculation where all we can do is speculate on what this could be.
And pray that it's funny.
I think, what if it was a drama? No, they did say comedy. They did say it was comedy.
He's created multiple drama characters.
Yeah, that would be just a few new monologues from Mike. Man, I'm excited, Cameron. What a way to wake up this morning.
I know. What a way to wake up and, you know, what a way to go to bed, knowing that we've got more Mike to look forward to.
Yeah, tomorrow is going to be a brighter day. And honestly, it's made me so fucking horny to be here with you today.
Dude, I'm horny as fuck. It's official.
I could not be. I mean, I've been in situations where I have been hornier, yes.
Yeah, well,
but
we've all been
private.
There.
They've been private, but this has been the horniest public I've ever been. Because I've got a raging joy boner right now that we've got more Mike. I'm swinging. I'm absolutely swinging right now.
I'm actually swinging as well. I'm swinging.
I think that while we learn more about this, do you think we should open the vault for a little bit more?
What do you want to do?
Do you think Mike Check, dare I say it, may be back?
I think it might be a little bit back.
I think Mike Check's a little bit back right now.
I think because what we've got to do is we've got to do Terminal.
Yes.
That's official. We've got to do the 5 minutes of Bo Rap that he's in.
We just got to track down those 5 minutes. If someone can, if there's a brave, horny baby out there that can enlist themselves to watch Bo Rap and take a note of what the exact times Mike is in the movie, I would appreciate that.
And any other little moments that we get, breaking Mike news and Brecken Meyer news and any little tidbits about this, I think we should dive in.
And I think it's an opportunity to carve it up here and there.
Yeah,
well.
Little semi-regular mic moments.
Yeah, I think this is the most back we've been. This is honestly the news. Like, Mike was in an Oscar-winning film that we rejected.
Yeah.
And this is giving us what we've wanted.
Yeah.
This was our goal.
It does feel like we're getting closer to a goal. And you know what someone tweeted at me just before we press record on this? Is that this Netflix show is also probably the closest opportunity that you and I will get to interview Mike Myers. When he is on the press circuit for the show, when he does his Australian press.
Yeah.
I doubt he'll come here, but he'll probably do some phoners.
Yeah.
This could be our chance to interview Mike Myers.
If you have any way for us to get to Mike Myers, this is a call out right now.
Mm.
If anyone has any kind of contact into the world of Mike Myers in any way, we would fly to America to meet him.
Yeah, we'll do it.
And we would love to pay for it. We would even do that.
Yeah, we'll even pay for it. That's how willing we are.
I honestly would do it tomorrow if I found out I could Mick Mike.
If you found out you could Mick Mike?
If I could Mick Mike tomorrow?
That would be scary shit.
I think this is it. We've been building to this. We have been building to getting Mike back on our screens in the way that he wanted. And it is
on his terms and on our terms.
And that's what we said on the first episode, on his terms and our terms.
And this is it. I think we're getting there.
Cameron, my horny baby, we it's happening. I honestly, I've never been more horny.
Well, let's try and keep our joy boners up.
Okay, swing it up.
Swing it up.
That is all we have to say. Well, I'm leaving on the most uplifted moment of my life. What else can people find out about us while they're waiting for the next episode to drop?
Well, we're always making Total Reboot episodes, so tune into Total Reboot. At the moment, we're in the middle of a Hellboy special.
Yes.
We're talking all about that famous Hellboy, the guy who's so the opposite of horny, he freaking shaves his horns off.
Yeah.
This guy actually shaves his horns down.
He's one of the least horny
characters to ever exist. Finding Drago, if you haven't listened to that, listen to Finding Drago.
It's a globally critically acclaimed podcast that we have been nominated for an award for. Yep. So Mike Check was the original investigative podcast that we did, but we went to the big times.
We went to the big times on this one. I'm doing my solo stand-up show at the Sydney Comedy Festival and at Newcastle Comedy Festival. Yep. Tickets are available online and they are moving quickly. And I would love you to come because it will be a little bit horny.
If you want to see me be horny, I have got on the 26th of April next Friday, it's the 6th anniversary of Greenlights Comedy Nights.
Oof.
Me and Nick O'Malion are emceeing as always, and Sam Campbell is headlining. It's going to be a fucking awesome night.
Great.
Many favorites are going to be there. Cameron, are you going
to
do it?
I'd love to drop in and drop off.
Okay, drop off the planet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Get absolutely wasted.
It's going to be a crazy night, so come do that. It's only $10. Put the reservations and stuff for both of our shows in the show notes. You can buy tickets or reserve seats or whatever.
Hell yeah, dude.
Oof. Honestly, I'm really excited that we're a little bit back.
We're a little bit back.
It's Mike Check. It's Mike Check. The podcast by Mike Myers. And we're clear.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.